Binary Jazz. I am joined, as always, by my friend Allison.Human, and who is Allison Plus on the internet, and also Gary.Human, that is was previously invisible.
And watered down coffee.
And he's Binary Gary on the internet, and I am Chris, and I am Jazz Sequence on the internet, and collectively we are most of us 2/3 not invisible. And we are Binary Jazz, a podcast about things that we don't know anything about, that are brought to us without discussion previously, and then we try to figure out what these things mean or what they are and have a semi-coherent conversation about that, but probably mostly about other stuff. That's how the show works.
Do you think that there's a prerequisite for being an inquisitive person to be on the show?
Yes.
Okay.
But I like how it's phrased as a prerequisite, like there's some sort of committee that has evaluated
yeah.
us.
Yeah, we'll block you out the door if you're not inquisitive enough. That's just how we roll.
That seems fair.
It's a self-review, contemplation, over and over again.
It really is. That is factually accurate.
Too contemplative?
I don't think I've had my quarterly Slack-like questioning of reality, though. This quarter. I think I skipped it for quarter one of this year. So
now is always a great time to start.
To start questioning your core beliefs and values.
Yeah, that's true. That is always true.
It's always never true. Too late.
Never too late to question everything you know. You remember that, okay? If you learn anything from me.
Oh, got real serious.
She just wants to push the caps lock button because it lights up.
Oh, I see. I'm reminding myself how to pronounce today's topic.
I'm distracted by the fact I should probably change the tab on my screen. I'm distracted by the fact that I've been working on a JavaScript thing that tracks initiative and damage in a D&D game. I just finished West Boss's ES6 for everyone, and I decided that I was going to do something in JavaScript. And so what could I do in JavaScript? Well, I'm running this D&D campaign. Let's do something D&D themed, and that was what came of it.
So are you using just like browser store or?
I'm not saving stuff yet. I'm mostly just like chaining a bunch of events to like when you click on a button and something happens. It starts out, you add the characters. And so if you refresh, you lose all the stuff. But if you don't refresh, then you have all the characters and you have, you can add their dexterity and it calculates their initiative. And then you add their initiative roll and it adds their bonus to the roll. And then I haven't done this part yet, but it's going to sort characters by initiative and then allow you to enter in the damage they've taken and then their hit points. That's a little message when they've taken damage, like so-and-so took damage. And then I'm gonna I'm also gonna style it. Right now it's just unstyled, so it's ugly as hell. I do plan on like pulling in, like Webpack and doing that doing some sort of a build process.
I think that's a great use of JavaScript. It's also like, I don't know, my heart swells with like the nerdiness of the sentence. Of all those senses. It's like so much compact to one end goal.
Yeah, I've been thinking about D&D so much lately that I've been dreaming in campaign setting that this game is running, and we've only had one session. It's just that I've been like doing like intense amounts of like research in the background. I had a dream the other night where I was like dying in the desert of this world that we're playing this game in.
So you're fully saturated.
I'm fully, yeah, I'm fully saturated. I'm oversaturated at this point.
Where it's like your subconscious is just like, oh, you weren't thinking about it enough during the day?
Right. Yeah.
Let's throw this in. Also the fact that you're like dying in the desert of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
not really even a good no. subconscious.
No. Today, Gary is going to be replaced by Charlotte, who is going to take place in the episode.
With opinions on everything.
Yes, answering the questions and putting in her feedback about the topic of the day.
But she might get it right. You never know. True.
Maybe it really is.
she stumbles across the actual answer. You're like, oh, crap.
It wasn't 42. That was the secret of life, the universe, and everything.
It was really just baby talk the whole time. I like the movement of the ceiling fan, though, when Gary's not a thing.
It's not too Twin Peaks for you. I guess it needs the sound effect for it to be really Twin Peaks. It's kind of a Twin Peaks-y angle, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Which I didn't, I rewatched, and then my partner rewatched Twin Peaks for the first time, but we didn't watch the new one.
Good.
Which I feel like probably, I think we're good. I feel like we maybe came to a...
Did you watch the movie? Firewalk with Me?
I think we, you know, on the fence.
Firewalk with Me is acceptable, but I still maintain the new series just didn't work the way that.
Well,
I
and someone else was basically like, it didn't add anything that I thought I was missing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it lost all the things that I felt like made Twin Peaks good, which is the quirky humor. There was not enough of the quirky humor, and that's literally the thing that makes it watchable. Like. There's a lot of like horrible, like disturbing, like visuals and just scene. Like the subject matter is really like heavy, but you have like damn fine coffee and amazing cherry pie, and it makes everything kind of like light. And then you have like we were actually just having this conversation about Nadine last night, and like you have like characters like that are just like weird and quirky and kind of funny, and that like lifts the whole thing, and it makes it a lot more palatable. And the new series lost that. Mm-hmm. It was really disappointing.
That's too bad. I've made the right decision then.
Yeah. Plus the man from another place was replaced by a tree or something.
No.
And that's because they couldn't get the actor to agree to a contract or something. Like they were having a contract dispute over how much to pay him, and so they replaced him with a tree.
That's one way to deal with it.
I mean, if you're David Lynch, then you could pretty much do whatever the hell you want, I guess.
I guess I should probably just go set my laptop in front of a tree for this episode.
Yeah. and then just kind of shake it whenever you say something.
You see like an arm come in.
Just like a rustle. Yeah. One of my friends recommended David Lynch's memoir, the audiobook version, apparently is quite good, which I have to add to my already pretty lengthy.
Have you ever watched, there's a couple like cooking videos that he's made.
What?
He made it. There's one that I watched a while ago, I think, and it was about him, how to make quinoa. And so he starts off by making, and it's all in black and white because David Lynch.
Yes, of course.
Like, how could it be in color? And so he starts off making the quinoa, and then he like veers off into this weird like as the quinoa is cooking, he's like off in this like tangential like discussion of reality, and he comes back and the quinoa is made.
It sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch or something.
And it's not. It's totally real, and the man is insane.
So weird. Okay.
So like I might imagine in my head his memoir is like him talking about something and then veering off into some weird, like not even a tangent, like just something completely irrespective of what he was previously talking about, and talking about that thing for about 45 minutes, like like badgers or something, and then going back to like something that happened to him.
But he doesn't view it as a tangent. Apparently, yeah. He also has, like, in the memoir, I guess he has not interview. He doesn't interview them, I don't think, but, like, other people talking on him. And so then they also, like, different voices come in for those people. And they talk about him and not necessarily complimentary things. Not bad things, I don't think, but, like, not... They're not showering him with praise, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
Everything that you need to know about David Lynch, I think you can learn from the song Crazy Clown Time.
I'm still stuck on this, like, how to make...
episode I've attended.
How to make...
What the hell is going on?
David Lynch.
I mean, that explains it, obviously, but what the hell is going on?
Your ceiling fan started it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I blame your ceiling fan.
I know.
Oh, that's even more Lynchian.
I was gonna say, I was like, that angle's even more like.
And then you zoom in, and then you add, like, the sound of, like, some factory machinery, and then you overlay the sound of factory machinery with, like, the sound of waterfalls.
Yeah, I was gonna say the sound of waterfalls.
And then you do a slow transition to a forest. with the sound effects still there. And then an extreme close up of Gary right there. Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's perfect.
Yes. This should work for the rest of the episode, huh?
right in there. The subject this week is not Twin Peaks, but
it may as well be.
Sorry, Gary. Okay, the topic for this week is syzygy. Which I will spell. Syzygy is spelled S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y or S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. You might need to type it out.
Yeah.
Syzygy.
S-Y-S-Z-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. Syzygy.
Syzygy. So that, I know I've done my job properly when I get a really deep sigh from Gary.
I mean, that it reminds me so much of the city in California, Zizix.
I love Doesn't Pass the Exit for Zizix.
Do you know the story of Zizix?
No.
So the story of Zizix and the reason why it has the name Zizix is because that was where, like, some... commune/cult was located, and they built their compound in this part of California, and they called it Zizix. So it would be the last they had to register with as a organization or something, and so they called it Zizix. So it would be the last thing in, like, the phone book or the last thing on, like, taxes, so they would get ignored by the government. So it's called Zizix because they literally picked the last letter and the most unlikely combination of letters so that they would not get noticed by the rest of society.
Does that what happens, like, when people started printing phone books and salespeople started going from the back to the front?
Well, the plan backfired at that point. I mean, it only lasted as a actual, like,
cult,
yeah, for a couple years, and then it wasn't, and then it just disbanded or whatever, but the city remained.
How long do cults usually last?
Is there an average cult lifespan? Have people done studies on it? I don't know, a couple years, I guess. Although, I mean, it also depends, I think, on what you define a cult. Like, I think the longer it goes, the less it becomes a cult, and the more it becomes an established religion, like Scientology or arguably the Church of Latter-day Saints.
It probably also depends on their kind of mythology that's associated or whatever with their end game, I guess, because their end game could come a lot sooner depending on...
Well, and I guess to that end, like, how uncomfortable their belief system is from the accepted mainstream probably has a lot to do with the definition.
Yeah, I mean, cult is really a determination that is made from the outside.
Yeah, I don't think people in are like, this is the best
cult. Yeah, I'm in a cult.
Like, I have a cult I've joined.
I'm in a community of like-minded people, and that defines...
Best Kool-Aid here. Best Kool-Aid.
No, I read an interesting article the other day by someone who, even after she left, like, the commune is what she was referring it to, and then, like, once she started just telling stories to people about her childhood, and everyone was, like, giving her really weird reactions, basically, and she was just like, she's like, even after I had left, I didn't realize that other people would view it as a cult until I started telling stories. And she's like, even then, she wasn't really comfortable calling it a cult because for various reasons. But anyway, but it was interesting that it was only until she started realizing that for her, her normal wasn't everybody else's normal. Mm-hmm. And in a pretty drastic way. But for her, it was just a commune. It was just like, oh, you know, like my family was hip, were hippies, and like, this was just how I grew up. And it wasn't, it was more like she was viewing it as like more hippie, like free love lifestyle rather than like kind of more abusive behavior, until she started telling stories. And then people were like, that's not kosher. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah. I've read stuff about the Osho commune in India that was along similar lines, mm-hmm. Which I had previously not been aware of. I was at one point the proud possessor of the Osho Zen Tarot, and I had no idea what, like, who Osho was, but I thought the cards were cool and I used them a lot. And then later on, I read all this stuff about how it's kind of a culty commune thing that is not particularly healthy. I'm like, oh, interesting.
Everything is problematic. Why?
Yeah, everything is gross and weird.
What's the topic again? Is what?
Syzygy. So much like Zizix, Syzygy.
Of course.
Syzygy is a community in northern Ontario that celebrates the snow and lives naked year round in the snow and in the not snow, and they are approximately 150 individuals, and they do not recruit except on alternating fourth Thursdays of the month.
I'm like, oh, that's a schedule. That's what that is.
Yeah, you have to think about
it. So there has to be like some kind of shaman whose job it is to keep track of the calendar. You know?
Yeah, right.
There's one person, they're called the
Syzygist, and they're the ones that are in charge of the entire calendar. They don't actually follow the traditional like Western calendar, they follow their own calendar, and the Syzygist is the one that actually sends people out to go recruit new people.
I wonder what the recruit pitch is like. Hope you have a good concept of time.
You like snow?
Do you like snow?
But do you really like snow?
Can I interest you in some snow?
How much do you like the cold?
Welcome to Northern Ontario.
And they live in yurts. Actually, they live in one really big yurt.
It holds 150 people.
Yeah, it's a really large yurt.
Yeah, super yurt.
Super yurt.
Mega yurt.
Syzygy.
Syzygy is the study. No, not study. Gee. Maybe it is the study. The study of size.
Or sizz. Depending on where you're from.
Yeah, I think that's it. Study of size. It's kind of boring. Yeah. This is bigger than that thing. Okay.
Syzygy.
I'm going to write a paper.
So if you're a syzygist, you're the person that just comes up and judges things based on size.
Yeah.
You're taller than that person. Great.
Syzygists are often invited into conferences and retreats where people need to be organized by height for photo-taking opportunities. They call in an expert, the syzygist, and they say, yep, you go over there, and you go over there, and you go over there, and all of you in the front row.
Yeah. It's like, and you're definitely in the back row.
They pull up in a rental car, they open the trunk, and they bring out their bread box. Like, yep, all are bigger.
Or maybe they measure people's egos. at conferences.
Ooh.
Gauntlet thrown.
I was thinking like they never mind. I had a thought, but I couldn't really get it to come together. It was like two passing ideas waving at each other. Just don't eat my toe.
I won't.
Thank you. That's fair.
I think what I like about her noises is that when you're off screen, it could be you, it could be her. Like, who knows where that last squeak came from?
I was chuckling about my syzygy. She's all fired up because we just had applesauce. Natural sugars for the win, huh? Oh.
I wish I got so, like, amped after eating applesauce.
Oh, I bought
I'm usually
this
like, I'm still hungry.
I bought this orange juice, like, local orange juice. I mean, literally, like, you know, careful, there might still be seeds in that kind of orange juice, right? And I drank a large glass of it yesterday, and the sugar content, just natural sugar content, I felt like I had like a cup of coffee. I was just wired after drinking it.
And you have good oranges because you're in Florida.
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah, it was, as far as orange juice goes, like, get a lot of good orange juice here, but there are still some orange juices I drink from time to time where I'm like, whoa, that is that's a memorable orange juice. And this was one of those yesterday. And I still have like a quarter gallon of it left. No, what do I have left? I think I bought a quarter gallon of it, so I can't have had some and still have a quarter gallon left. Unless it's magic orange juice. Let me check.
Let me check if it's, are you checking to see if it's magic orange juice? Yes. Or if there's any left?
Yes.
There's about 30 ounces left.
I have no magic juice in my
fridge. Raise your hand if you can, in your head, visually picture 30 ounces.
Because I just looked at it. I'm still a little bit less than halfway full in a quarter gallon jug. 2 ounces less. 64 is a quarter.
Doing my best, but
an eighth of a gallon. It's a little, like a little less than an eighth of a gallon.
My spatial reasoning clearly is not so great.
Well, maybe we could just do. Maybe I could just bring it out.
Bring out the magic juice.
This is illustrating the syzygy.
Oh, that's much more than I was.
So the angle is not helping because on the screen it looks way more than half, but I don't know. I can't like tilt it so it's flat because when I do that.
No, please don't pour juice on your computer.
And sorry, manager, that's why I can't work today. I poured orange juice on
my. You're like, my keyboard is incredibly sticky.
Demonstrating how sugary the juice was.
You would have to issue a syzygy.
Oh, I would, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
The formal syzygy?
A formal syzygy.
It's like an apology, except not.
Except it's not is as.
Is it a writing? Is a syzygy a kind of writing? It might be.
It could be.
is a document that illustrates the size of a thing. The syzygy of a thing. It's like an exegesis, except it's a syzygy.
A syzygy.
I feel like it sounds really similar to synergy. So maybe it's some kind of corporate speak.
Could be.
Well, it isn't yet, but I think if we keep using it in sentences, we could probably make it a buzzword, hashtag syzygy.
I just need to hang out more in those corporate environments. Yeah. Catch on.
That's a good point. Where could we do this? Who do we know that's perfect?
I would need to change my wardrobe to be able to fit in. Oh, blend seamlessly. Like Jane Goodall.
Yep.
Syzygy.
When Jane Goodall was living with apes?
Mm-hmm.
Did she like wear
have a corporate wardrobe?
Hair? Like or did she just kinda wear normal
think just normal.
Yeah.
But I think, like, similar to camping, I think you just, like, start
smelling it less. Well, in the documentary, Girl is in the Mist. Mist? Right? Yeah. Is that Jane Goodall? No. Yeah, that was, right?
I don't...
It wasn't even a documentary. It was a movie about.
But... Yeah, it's a movie about.
I like to think of things that are not documentaries as documentaries, like Star Wars. You know?
You're like, well, the documentary is Star Wars, The New Hope. Clearly.
I can't take credit for that, though, because I asked in the Space Channel at work that I created.
I hope you're not the only member. There's got to be tons of other people.
There's let's see how many other people there are. It's not tons, but it's...
The company itself isn't gigantic either, so ratio-wise, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, there's 15 people in there. Well, wait, one of them is a bot. One of them is a bot. How many other bots are in there?
Yeah, bots.
There's only two bots in there. So there's 13 humans in there, allegedly. Have I met all these people in person?
Can you vouch for their humanness?
They all exist. I've seen them all with my own eyes, yeah. Uh-huh. All 12 of the others in there.
Well, I mean, technically you've seen us with your own eyes, but that doesn't mean anything.
That's true. I think that Chris is a hologram.
Yeah, AI has come a really long way.
So I asked what were people's favorite space movies, because I went on like a space movie binge at the beginning of the year. I don't know if you all recall that or not. I started my year by watching a space movie every day for... Any days as I could like do it.
It's not so much the beginning of the year as like you're constantly on a space binge in my mind all the time.
So I asked like what are your favorite space movies? And one of the folks in there said, my favorite space movie is the documentary Star Wars.
Yeah. Did you watch Spaceballs as part of your space movies?
I didn't. I was really going for like real space movies, not like sci-fi. Nah. So like The Right Stuff, Apollo 13. What else was in there?
So a bit more heavy hitting than Spaceballs is what I'm hearing.
I mean, Spaceballs is a documentary.
Yeah. I love Mel Brooks.
There were some creative liberties, but yeah, you're right. It was a documentary.
How about Muppets in Space?
Yeah.
No. I have not. I need to add that to the list too. Jeez.
Does Muppets in Space have any cameos by Pigs in Space?
I don't think so, unfortunately.
That is sad. That should be a thing. I haven't watched very many of the Muppet movies. I think I've watched one.
I remember enjoying Muppets in Space, but I was probably just...
It's been a few years.
Been a while. Well, the whole premise is basically Gonzo realizes that he's like a weirdo and wants to like figure out his origin story and find like some other Gonzos.
How do the Muppets figure out how to go to space? And here I am sitting in Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, Muppets are much lighter than humans. So
they have less of a syzygy.
And they're less prone to damage from things like cannons. So really they just need something to launch them into orbit and then they're in space. So I think it is much easier, generally speaking, to get a Muppet into space than it would be to get a Gary into space.
I have a monthly like object oriented hangout that I do, and it was last night. And we were talking, and I looked at the clock and realized, oh, there's a rocket launch. I have to go. It's been fun. And as soon as I turned on the rocket feed, from SpaceX, they were like, oh, upper-level winds are out of bounds, so scrubbed. Ah.
And then you rejoined the conversation, and everybody was there talking about Gary dropping the call because of rocket launches.
No, we all called it quits when I said I was heading out, so... I like was like, I'll see y'all next month, and kind of knocked the whole thing over in exchange for a launch that wasn't happening.
Yeah, wow.
So, feel like a jerk.
Well, we had a similar conversation in our house because I saw Ground Control Bot had tweeted an hour, and I was like, oh, there's a SpaceX launch. But then when we signed on, I was like, wind.
I've really been thinking about how best to handle delays with Ground Control Bot. Because right now, the way delays are handled is not at all, which is certainly one solution. And I need to think of a better way to do that. Like a different color of text, like, hey, this launch has been delayed. Because a lot of times we know fairly quickly, you know. I mean, like, we knew last night.
Something that is a data source in the feed that you're getting?
No. So yeah. It would take like some kind of human involvement. But let's be honest, like most launches, I'm a human and I'm not involved in the launch, but I'm involved in watching the launch and scouring Twitter to find out like how's fuel loading going and stuff of that nature. What do the upper level winds look like? Or if it's launching from Florida, like, you know, are the boaters staying out of the exclusion zone?
So
Syzygy is.
Syzygy is.
Okay, it can be a few different things, but the main definition that seems to be utilized for it is astronomy-based. What? Plot twist! So it's an alignment of three celestial things. So it's usually used in conjunction with, like, the sun, earth, and moon.
It is like a synergy.
Kind of,
I think that in the back of my mind when you said that word, I'm like, I think I've heard that before, and I had no idea what the context was. But
well, I'd seen it, but I had never heard it. Like, no one's saying it aloud in my circle.
When I say heard it, I might mean, like, read or something. But it did tickle something in my brain. Like, maybe I should know what that is, but I have no idea.
That's cool. Also the shortest English word with three Ys in Scrabble, so for a total of 25 points, apparently.
Are there three Ys available in Scrabble, or do you have to use blanks to make that happen?
I think you have to use blanks. Actually, no. Well, this says 25 points, though, it makes me feel like now I have to know. How many Ys are
there? Yeah, let's answer that. Oh, that happens to be one of the listener questions. How many Ys are in Scrabble?
And now we're finding out, yes. Well, I think that questions that could be answered by Google are probably not good listener questions.
There are two Ys in Scrabble. So there you go.
So you would need a blank.
One blank. Yeah.
So we do have a couple questions. Most of them are from Allison. One of them I really wanted to bring to the show.
Yes.
It's from Henry T. Garcia at scenttip.com.
At what?
Scenttip. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Scent tip.
I don't know what that is.
Tip of a scent, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. And he says, we want to purchase your website traffic. Hi, I'm Tom from Digital Market Company.
Wait, Scent Tip. Hold on. Oh, let me see this, Henry.
I did.
Okay.
The person is Henry T. Garcia, and it says, hi, I'm Tom. I can only assume that's what a T is for.
Yeah, the Henry is silent.
Are you searching for a way to generate more money through your site? Well, the answer to your question, Henry T. Garcia, Tom, is no, we're not. But he goes on and says, visit here to get income and bonus, https://earn-10-more. You will be glad to know media.net, which is owned by Bing and Yahoo, as one of the biggest pools of advertisers in the world, they will pay more to purchase your website traffic. More than what? I don't know. The average earnings from 1,000 ads impressions is $10. The average earnings from 1,000 ad impressions is $10. That
doesn't sound right.
That's crappy. Currently, they are expanding their business, and you will get 10% more of your revenue for the first 3 months. Join now. Thanks a lot for your time, Henry Garcia, creator and CEO, Scenttip Co. Limited.
So Sense is spelled C-E-N-T-S, not S-C-E-N-T-S.
It's
I thought it was Scenttip, and I'm like, what?
It's C-E-N-T-T-I-P, yeah. Scenttip.
I heard Scenttip, and I was thinking maybe there was someone like encroaching on Allison's turf, and we needed to drop that candle. Person.
Well, I don't know. $10 seems like a lot more than $0.
And it's even, it's 10% more than that from what I understand.
Yes, but that's,
I think we make it 11.
That's $10 for 1,000 ad impressions.
Yeah. So we could probably get somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 a year.
That's a lot of orange juice.
It's not.
I'm skeptical that we could get $10 a year. Let's see. Well, no, we have all time. This is shocking. All time visits to our site is 7,037. That's
a lot more than
that's more than $10.
But is that refreshing because of the genre nader?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Well, that can't be because of the genre nader, because the genre nader is somewhere in the neighborhood of like 43 billion, right?
43
it billion. Does we do so the top posts and pages, if I go to the best the best day, best ever, 526 views, it says 509 views came from Twitter. That's interesting. And then 510, I don't know how this works, how Jetpack is doing this math. It says 526, there's 509 views from Twitter. I guess they all went to the Genre Nader page. So on January 30th, 2018, we had 510 views on the Genre Nader story page, and then another 15 hits on the Genre Nader page, and only one to the podcast episodes page. So,
do we think that people are hitting the genre page?
A little bit skewed.
Do you think people are hitting the genre page because Google is like providing search results when people are searching things like eTuba or stuff of that nature?
I don't think that those things would get indexed, although they do have they do have unique URLs if you do if you enter it in, but I don't think that they would get indexed because it's just dynamically generated. One hit today came from groundcontrol.space/success.
Does that mean we had an install today?
It does seem to indicate that.
Let's go find out. Groundcontrol.space.
I normally have to wait until the evening to see if.
I usually only find out in the evenings as well, but
it does look like on a month-to-month basis we get about 500 hits a month, which is a lot more than we have anticipated.
Yeah, oh yeah, 7 hours ago. 7 hours ago, we added a new team. There's something.
I'm so curious to the teams that are adding these, the bot. Like, I just want to know. I'm like, I want to know more, even though that's invasive. And I shouldn't.
I want to know more.
On Ground Control Bot, I keep team names. So.
I want to know more about what are. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.